Welcome to the Small Business Show. Join us as we have candid conversations with entrepreneurs and experts in the industries to uncover the wisdom and strategies for running a successful business. The Small Business Show is the official podcast of Garuda Promo and Branding Solutions. Let's get started. Hello, everyone. Thank you for tuning in. My name is Swire. You can also call me the promo guy. Today, we have Haley Kalani, founder of Kalani Consulting. How are you doing, Kay?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me on the show.
I love your bio that you wrote me. You know, you wanted to be an astronaut, but then you found out how much math it involves. Then you quickly switch gears and become creative. And here you are, you know, running your own marketing agencies.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Yeah, I did want to become an astronaut. That was like my dream. And I always lived in sort of these fantasy worlds and loved thinking of just like expansive stuff and living in my own, head, so to speak. And as I started to get older and, you know, tell other people, tell adults like, oh, I want to be an astronaut. You know, they usually put some logical limits onto those ideas. And I was like, you know what? I'm not a huge fan of math. So what else can I do? Where can I follow my heart where creativity is the, I don't know if I'd say source of my happiness, but I think in a lot of ways it is. So when I started to follow my heart in that direction, it stumbled into what I do today, which is help people become the most creative version of themselves so that they can connect with the right people, the right ears, the right eyes to make their mission and their message heard.
How did you get into marketing from your journey and helping others, you know, and why do you think marketing is important to run a business?
I got my journey almost by accident. So as I was going through high school, senior year, people were like, what do you want to do? What are you going to be? Where are you going to go to college? And at that point in my time in my life, I was really interested in music. I had done some, you know, audio engineering work. And so I actually got a internship at a recording studio, and they also had an educational program running outside of that recording studio. So I graduated. They hired me on as an intern, and I noticed that I was surrounded by just like incredibly talented people who were struggling to make any money really off of the thing that I thought and they thought that they were best at and most passionate about. And to me, that was really frustrating because I was in the same position. I just wanted to make money doing the thing that I loved. And along came a mentor in my life. I met her through the recording studio. She owned an entertainment company and was a music lawyer. She sort of took me under her wing and eventually showed me the world about business. And she said, you know, you have this really cool gift of being able to take what's in here inside your own head and what's inside other people's head and actually bring it to life and have it come to fruition in this thing we call real life. And I was like, you're telling me I can make money off of doing that? That's awesome. So that's what spiraled into me starting my own business, which at first I just got certified in social media marketing. It was something that was really easily attainable for me. I was naturally good at, and a lot of the people around me in the music industry specifically needed a better social media presence. So that's what I started out doing. And then it slowly stumbled into more of the coaching / consulting space where now I teach people how to do that for themselves.
Yeah, which brings into my next question, because all of us, most of us, I would say, have a social media profile, and obviously we know how to post it, but then not all posts are created equal. And then you also have a good point. You say training your creative muscles. Is it like how I go to the gym and lift weight and, you know, how do I train my creative muscles?
Yeah. I mean, you got it spot on. It really is just like going to the gym and training any other muscle. And we don't really think about it because we're like, well, creativity is sort of this abstract concept. And the way that I like to think about creativity is just thinking differently. So oftentimes we think it's painting or drawing or the act of video, and those are acts of creativity. But really, when you break it down, it's just the way of thinking differently. And we did this a lot as kids. we were super open to just everything and anything. We were very curious in that aspect of our lives. And that was called creativity. We thought really weird things. Like if you ever hear what, you know, a toddler says, they'll say the craziest things. And you're like, what are you thinking in your own head? But as we get older, school, college, society, jobs, they sort of suppress that creative muscle. So just when you think of like a regular muscle, if you don't use it very often, it gets atrophied. And so then when you try and jump back into the gym after months and months, or in this case, years and years of not using a certain muscle, and you try and do like a bunch of reps, you're going to get really sore. You're going to get really burnt out. It's going to suck for a period of time. So when people are bringing their creativity back from a space where that's been atrophied or lost for a while, it can be sometimes overwhelming and really frustrating. So if you're somebody who doesn't create content a lot and you want to make videos every day, I would say that's a great goal to have, but maybe take it a little smaller of a baby step. Where can you make videos maybe once a week and then sprinkle in some other forms of content into the social media platforms of your choice? Or instead of being on TikTok, Snapchat, Facebook, Instagram, Clubhouse, like all of them, maybe choose one or two that you feel really connected with and then start there as you slowly build this consistency, just like going to the gym. If you go to the gym once hard once a week, it's not as good as going to the gym maybe for 15, 20 minutes, 5, 6 days a week. So mm-hmm. that's what I would say in starting to stretch and strengthen that creative muscle.
Yeah, I think a lot of business, when they try to market themselves, they think about, you know, features and benefits, right? I'm showing you how, you know, you could be a better self of you, or if you eat this, or if you wear this, you'll be better. But then people, they don't think about, as a consumer or people who use their services, we don't really care how they do it, right? We want to care about why they're doing it. You know, why, what's in it for us as a consumer? You know, is it something that we could relate to? You know, sometimes, as you know, we'll spend a few more dollars just to buy from our local coffee shop than to go to a big box coffee shop, because we know that, you know, we're supporting local community, or maybe we like the story, maybe we just like talking to the owner, right? It's a small shop. And, you know, these are the things that people don't highlight. So when that small local coffee shop wanted to market, they would think like, oh, we should market like Starbucks. But then you're not Starbucks. You know, you are the way that people like you. Why not, you know, tell a little bit of those stories, and it will be different. So when people try to post, especially on social media, they think about how the competitors are doing, how the industry is doing. So they lost focus of who they are. You know, that, do you notice that from people that you have talked to?
I definitely notice that. I notice it in the clients that come to me. I notice it just on, as I'm scrolling through social media at various times. And I think it's one of the most common problems that people face. You know, we hear the classic, like, how do you stand out in your industry? How do you stand out? How do I make myself unique in this space or in the thing that I'm in? And the easiest thing that I like to tell people is that there's nobody else on planet Earth that ever has been, ever will be, or is currently you. Like, there's only one Swire Ho. There's only one Haley Kalani. And so by really tapping into your own authenticity, I know that word gets used a lot, but really the thing that makes you you, and catering to that, your story, as you mentioned, the things that make you unique, then it becomes a whole lot easier to figure out what marketing tools, what marketing tactics, right? What marketing strategies can fit within the mold of Haley, the mold of Swire, the mold of whoever's using those tools. I think so often we get caught up in that these tools, the tactics, the strategies, the marketing, whatever's, the platforms are the solutions themselves. But really it's like building a house. Like, if you want to build a successful marketing campaign, let's say, you need certain tools to be able to do that. But the blueprint of how you do it is the person behind the tool, the person using the tools. So I definitely think that tapping into your own self and your story and your authenticity is the first step in creating something successful with marketing, whether it's content or an ad campaign, promotions in general.
So you would suggest that, you know, we all, you know, try to find our niche and develop a personal brand, right? So, but then sometimes if you haven't done it, you know, you don't know, you know, I don't want to talk about myself. I'm just in the business of selling whatever that I do. I don't really want it to people to know more about me. I'm a private person. Do you get that from clients a lot? And how would you advise them?
I would say that for my clientele specifically, I typically work with like solopreneurs and people who are, or freelancers who are like riding solo. So I don't necessarily come across that situation with them because they understand that I'm, you know, I'm selling myself essentially. A lot of them are service-based, so they're not product-based. But I have definitely had conversations with people where they do feel like that. They're like, I'm kind of private. I don't really want to be on camera all the time and blah, 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 blah. And I totally understand because there's certain parts of my life that I don't just throw up on the internet, right? But I do share a lot of myself. And there's a couple of ways that you can go about that. One is having somebody else as the face of the brand or the company. So you can bring on somebody else who does love that, who is aligned with your values, your vision of the company, and can be that spokesperson for you. Another thing, like I think Gary Vee even mentioned this, if you look at like Geico, who, I don't know who runs Geico, but they've got the lizard to do all the face of the company for them. And then another sort of aspect of that is if you don't want a spokesperson and all that, be very diligent in what you share. It can just be sharing knowledge. It doesn't always have to be sharing your specific, you know, traits or the things that you want to keep close and you don't want other people to know. It can be sharing knowledge in a way that is from your heart or from your experiences. So just even in the fact that if you're, let's say, purely writing content, you don't get up and do videos and all that, the way that you write can come across as uniquely you. So I think those are a couple different methods for people who don't necessarily want to be in like the limelight, let's say.
Yeah, not put it in a good way. If you hear me talk, you know it's me.
Yeah.
It's unique in that way, you know, the way that we talk. You know, sometimes I think for entrepreneurs, especially solopreneurs, they're too afraid to be themselves. You know, they think about, you know, people will kind of judge you and criticize you if you behave a certain way. But I think if you, you know, in the world that we live in right now, even I will use the word, if you're weird enough, people will actually follow you. They pay money to see you. And they, you know, when you have merchandise, you know, people actually, you know, get it off the shelf. So, you know, don't be afraid to step out a little bit to show, you know, your business community, who you are as a person. And then, you know, like you said, to separate yourself from your competition, that's how you, you know, have the advantage, right? Be different than everyone else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, if we aren't willing to like be a little bit weird and really show those kind of quirky parts of ourselves, then we are just blending in with everybody else. So by nourishing those weird or quirky or things that other people might deem as, you know, outside of the norm, that's actually a really good thing. And, you know, it comes back to like the inner critic that we all have of creators, especially of like, oh, it's not perfect, or, you know, what if somebody doesn't like it? And that's a lot of internal work that we have to do too. And when, in my mind, when my marketing really changed and really shifted for my clients as well, like going beyond the tactics, going beyond what to do on platforms, it really shifted when I started to do internal work on myself and overcome that inner critic, overcome all of these like imposter syndrome and all of that. That's when my marketing really started to shift, because then there are no limits. There's nothing that's holding me back from doing what I think is best. There's nothing that I'm comparing to and saying, oh, well, they did this and I don't know if I am, you know, good enough or worthy enough to be able to do that, right? So once I did the internal work, it was a lot easier for my marketing to flourish.
Okay, let's talk about content creation. You know, it's very important, and as we know it, but then how do we find the right content? Because I've helped and worked with people that they know content creation is important, but then they didn't know what they should write. Again, going back to your previous example, they just want to write about the features and benefits, how good the machine is, or how good, you know, would they sell houses, how good this property will be. How would you bring out their inner value, like you said, from them? And are there certain examples that you can share?
Yeah. The first thing that I would say is we would tackle the values first, right? Like really getting into, okay, what do we care about most? And that I would say 100% of the time is always going to lead back to people, to other humans, right? And it's going to appeal to that in some sort of way. So if the content that a brand is making is strictly about features and benefits, where is the human aspect in that? Where is the people in that? So I always shift to people first. And when you focus on the people, there's so many different scenarios, stories, examples, that you can give and show within content and create a story around that will naturally talk about the features and the benefits without strictly saying, hey, here are the features, hey, here are the benefits.
Yeah, I like to use this example because I like going outdoor and camping. Obviously, I could buy online, find the cheapest price, price shop and get a coupon, whatever, to get it. But I like to shop at REI. Because why? Because it gave me the experience, because people work there, are well-trained, and they also go camping themselves. They know a lot about each gear. They probably have used it themselves. So they're able to tell me more information and probably upsell me, right? I'll use the example, but I'm happy to, purchase from that because the experience is different. Every time I go there, I learn something new, and I maybe learn about a new product, how it could benefit my experience, in the outdoors. So I think by brand thinking like that, people do want to communicate with you. It's nice that you have a good website that tells everything that people can know about your business. But, a lot of times they still wanted to talk to people who is behind the brand, who they are. Are we just dealing with a robot, or are we, dealing with a human being? So I think by making yourself available, picking up at the first ring, it's a lot better than if I have you swim around the phone system for like 30 minutes with no human being in sight.
Mm-hmm. I 100% agree. I was at a store the other day, and we were looking at, we had some friends over, and we were trying to figure out the best like tequila to get for everybody. And we didn't know anything about tequila. We're not big drinkers or anything. So the gentleman who was helping us, he broke down all the different kinds, like, what's your price range? What kind of, taste do you want? How often do you drink this stuff? Is it going to be in drinks? Is it going to be in this? And he just was asking us questions. And in the act of doing that, and he was really friendly along the way, I was like, oh my gosh, this is an awesome place. I'm definitely going to come back here. Strictly from that real experience that I had with the employee who was working there. And that translates just as well online. I think that we forget that, oh, if there's not this live human to human interaction, then it's going to be a little bit different. But even a video versus just a big long about page could be better. And it's catering to different types of people too, right? Like some people will gravitate towards visual learning more. So their about page could have a video on it, but also some people prefer written, and that's the way that they learn and consume information better. So having options for people to gravitate towards and really covering the full spectrum of anybody that's going to be coming to your website or your social media pages is really nice to have full coverage, so to speak.
Well, I think I'm going to bring up a point. Probably some people are not going to agree with me. And I always say that you can't do business with everyone. Right. As much as we want to try, we can't do business with everyone. And like you said, by putting a video up there, then we could kind of filter out that people who might not like us. There are people out there, however you think you're likable, there are still people who won't connect with you the way that others will be. And by putting a video, actually talk about your company and your perspective, you can actually filter out those people who have no interest, right, doing business with you. And the one they actually connect and call you, probably have seen the video, like what you said, or like the way that you talk about your values. So then you can actually build a better funnel for yourself by, you know, weeding out the people who have no interest and won't do business with you anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. I think so. Sometimes we get caught up in like, well, if I do this, somebody's, you know, I'm going to lose customers. But really, it's those customers were never going to be your customers in the first place. And they would find out eventually that it's not the right fit. So as long as we're focused on the people who are the right fit and catering everything in our marketing to those people, then like you said, it'll weed out everything else. We don't have to spend all of that time and energy weeding it out ourselves. Our marketing will do that for us.
Mm-hmm. And I liked what you said, you know, for content marketing, it goes beyond posting to social media. So for a lot of people, they think, you know, when we talk about marketing, they think about social media, think about Facebook, Instagram, you know, TikTok. How else would you advise them to think beyond social media?
I think connection is probably the biggest thing. So there's lots of touch points in connection, and social media is just one of them, right? It could be, and this is dependent on your business and what works best for you and how big your team is. So there's a lot of questions involved. However, social media is just one aspect of it. So another part of marketing is making sure that you're actually nurturing your community. So when you do post content and there are people who are commenting, people are messaging you, people are sharing, being able to respond to them, being able to share stories back, being able to answer their questions. So that's one aspect. Another one might be in person. Like you are, by being a business owner, you are your own marketing platform as well. You might not think that, you know, this vessel is a platform, but it is. And so even in every day, whether you're connecting with people and networking meetings or even collaboration, whether it goes on social media or it goes on, you know, a blog or TV, like actual media, it doesn't really matter, but it's that connection portion of it. Sometimes for some people, mailing, you know, if you are very close with the clients that you have, having direct mail as a marketing option is great. I know that, you know, like you said, a lot of the time now when we think of marketing, it's strictly online, but there is a lot of benefit to the stuff that is offline as well.
Yeah, I think direct mailing is making a big comeback, especially, you know, during the pandemic. I've seen the number of mailing that we receive at our home increase at least 30%. And then it's kind of nice, you know, especially in my industry, to send someone, you know, a package that they didn't expect. You know, obviously you could have all the bells and whistles on social media, but then having a tangible material in their possession, it's still a different kind of experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like creating opportunities for somebody to go, oh, wow, they took time out to do that. They took time out to like actually connect with me as a human being and put a little bit more energy into it. And I think that's where marketing goes from pretty good to really, really great.
Yeah, I think, you know, this is an example that I like to use. You know, you can give me a coupon or you can give me a discount on, let's say, a Facebook ad. But then it won't beat if I am mailing you chocolates to you, and then I'm calling you, you know, to talk to you about my business. You know, chances are the way that I can get through the door and get on more conversation by sending you a box of chocolates.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Especially for if you have something that you can send to people who are, let's say, I'm trying to think of the best word to use, but at our like, you know, your dream client or somebody who's at a level that is just like immense and you want to get their attention and give them something, right? Mail is an awesome opportunity to be able to do that and get exposure for that thing.
Yeah, we kind of touch a little bit on that, you know, to divine, go more niche, right? How would you begin? Because again, we all want everyone to be our client. If we are a restaurant, we want everyone that eats. If we're an insurance agent, we want everyone buy insurance. And if we're musicians, we want everyone to listen to a song. But if you tell them that they have to be more specific, they have to be more target, people get afraid. You know, how do you talk to them?
I think there's a couple reasons why people get a little freaked out about it, right? It comes from a place of either fear or lack, like, oh, I'm closing myself off to opportunities or to clients and essentially like money, right? So it almost comes back to like a money mindset aspect of it. There might also be some resistance because we have such, I faced this a lot when I first started, which is I have such a drive to help people that why would I only want to help a specific sector of people? I want to help everybody. So I can totally see how it's a very challenging thing to go through. I think where it starts, and this might sound maybe redundant or it might sound a little cheesy or it might sound like cliche to some people, but I really do think that it starts with your purpose. Why am I doing the thing that I'm doing? And who am I doing this thing for? And bringing it back to there and also doing some internal work along the way, whatever that means for you, it could be knowledge-based, it could be meditation-based, whatever that means. Coming to that niche or that conclusion within yourself first that connects and aligns with your purpose. So as an example, for me, when I first started out, I thought niching down meant I had to pick an industry. I thought niching down meant I had to pick a specific person with a specific job title, right? But what I found later on, that niching down can also mean only helping a certain person with a specific like personality trait, a specific set of skills, a specific outlook on life. And that can be a niche within itself. So for example, the coaching that I do can be for several different niches. Like it applies to all of it. But if I just said that in my marketing, people would be like, well, I don't know if you can help me specifically. So how I combat that is my niche is somebody who is unfocused specifically, somebody who is stuck in their marketing specifically, somebody who is willing to think outside of the box, willing to take risks. And even those three right there cut out a lot of other people that don't fit within my ideal client or AKA my niche. So when it comes down to thinking about your niche, if you're really overwhelmed in the process of picking a specific industry or a person who has a specific job title, I'd say try going with the person as a whole. What do they look like? What are their beliefs, their values, the things that they need help with, and then focus on that as a specific niche.
Yeah, I think that's much more effective. And, you know, if you're spending money, you know, in a marketing campaign, much easier, much cheaper than if you're throwing money to everybody, right? You know, no one has the marketing dollar to focus on everyone. Even for, if you think about it, you know, even Walmart, Starbucks, they have a specific target that they focus on. You don't just see ads for these two companies everywhere. They know exactly where they need to be. And then if big companies think that way, for smaller companies, you got to think better, because obviously we don't have a limited marketing budget to spend on attracting our clients.
Yeah. Learn by example. Do what successful companies are doing, or at least emulate it in your own way. And that will, most of the time, at least through the process of experimentation and seeing what works and what doesn't, will eventually work out in your favor.
That's great. Haley, if viewer wants to get in touch with you, what would be the best way? And then at the end, how would you encourage people to start thinking about it? And, you know, like, where do they start? You know, the question will be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, people can get connected with me through my LinkedIn or my Instagram. It's just my name. If somebody's interested in working with me or just getting to understand like what the heck I do, you can go to my website as well. And for anybody who's getting started and needs that initial push, I would highly recommend just sitting with your own thoughts for a little bit. It sounds a little weird, but my advice would be to get bored, essentially. Sit with your own thoughts, get out everything, all the distractions out of the way. And I would encourage you to do it for a minimum of just like 5 minutes. Find 5 minutes within your day and just think about the things that light you up and how your business and your marketing can align with those. Because as you are more lit up, as you are more excited about the thing that you're doing, your marketing is going to reflect that. And other people who are attracted to that same thing are going to start interacting with you, whether it's through socials, messaging, giving you a call, or all of the above.
Great, Haley. Thank you so much for coming on today for the information. I do agree that, you know, we all trying to reflect and define why we're doing what we do. I think that's very important because people get sucked in, right? That you do it daily or you do it for like 20 years, right? Why do you still doing what you do? You know, so if you can find that passion and then you can able to relate that passion, I think that's, you know, is what you're talking about. You can, you know, connect with people who are drawn to you because of your passion.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. And thank you for allowing me to be on the show and just share my thoughts and all of the things.
All right. Take care, Haley.
Thank you, Swire. Take care. Bye.